Welcome to the Voice in the Pen podcast, recorded at Hatch Music Studios. Voice in the Pen is cultivating space for songwriters and creatives in Wilmington and surrounding areas. Find Voice in the Pen on Facebook and Instagram. Your support gives a platform for original content and helps nurture Wilmington's creative community. Thanks for listening.
This is episode 21. I'm Emily Burdett. Today we are talking with Katiana Vasquez about her songwriting process, how she got started, and the stories behind the songs. Voice and the...
Welcome to Voice in the Pen podcast. My name is Celia Stanley.
And I'm Emily Burdett.
We're sitting with our guest of honor today. Introduce yourself.
My name is Katiana Vasquez. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about what you do.
So I'm a musician in Wilmington and surrounding areas. I gig, as we all know. I think is the best word for it. I've started releasing music, but I also do like private events and fun things like that. So, yeah.
Sweet. So how did you get started in music? How long have you been playing? Because I don't really know what your background is.
Oh, fun. The lore. Yeah. So I'm first generation, and I think my parents just were really intentional with what they, not forced on us, but encouraged us to do. And so my mom was like, pick an instrument, and that's what you got to do. And I picked percussion. So I grew up in classical percussion lessons, and I quickly realized I liked singing, but that didn't match. Like, it was hard for me to like explore that with drums. So I did take lessons though for 7 years. And then this is also the tangent we were talking about. And
while we're on that tangent, can you be more specific about what kind of percussion?
Drum, like the drum set.
Like a
drum
set.
But he taught me
okay.
theory. Like we would do bongos like this and everything, but it was more drum set, and I could read that, which I didn't know you could do, but you can. And so he was great. His name's Troy Pierce. He's actually still in the scene, so he's awesome. But what was I saying? Oh, yeah. So then when I realized I really like singing, I moved more towards teaching myself guitar and piano through YouTube. And yeah. And then I got older. I had kids really young, so music was back burner. But in 2018, got my own equipment and started at one bar that gave me a chance. It was Liberty in Porter Snack. I don't know if you guys remember.
Yeah, Liberty.
Yeah.
So, now known as Outer Dunes, right?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I haven't played Outer Dunes, but I used to play at Liberty. And that kind of just picked up. Like, once you get that experience, you're able to be like, okay, I play, like, and then you can start booking yourself and things like that. So it's grown a lot from there.
Yeah.
You said that you learned a lot from YouTube. Do you have some good YouTube channels for us for exploring?
It's been so long.
There's so much out
there,
too.
There's so many. I think the guy that comes to mind is Marty. Do you guys remember him?
Yeah. Marty Schwartz, I think.
Yes,
right?
I think that's his name. Yeah. I watched a lot of his videos. That's the only one I can remember, to be honest. We're talking, I'm 28, so this 15 years ago.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask, like, how long ago it was that you started picking up guitar?
Yeah. So 13, which is also embarrassing to say because I'm not that good, like guitar wise. Like I feel like you hit a plateau. So I never got into like scales or any of that. So I
say the same thing about myself. People are like, "How long have you been playing?" I'm like, I don't want to tell you.
Do you mind? Actually, don't ask me that. But piano helped a lot too. My dad played piano. So I had that in the house, and that helped me a lot with the music theory that translated to guitar. So
yeah.
I just want to insert myself to say that complicated music doesn't mean it's good. You know what I mean? Like simple, like cowboy chords. You know, like it's good. Like,
I just
it's still
feel
good.
Bad because like I've been playing for 15 years and I'm still like on my open bar chord. Roping chords or whatever.
I'm in the same boat. Yeah. I've been playing for 20 years and and I'm just trying to get into walk downs and walk ups and all that good stuff. So
maybe when I have the time.
Sometimes it's just about what you need to like, hey, I need an instrument to back up my voice.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
And it's not, you're a singer first.
And that's
some
the
way.
Feedback I've gotten. I've asked like really good guitarists before what they recommend. They're like, honestly, like you sing, so you're good. Like it's no one's noticing. And I'm like, okay.
When I started looping, I started getting into scales and doing more lead. And I used to sort of pine for that when I was just playing like rhythm guitar and be like, oh, I wish I like grew up a shredder, man.
Yeah.
But then I realized like, actually, I'm glad I didn't, because what the kind of playing that we're talking about, where it's more like I'm a songwriter and I need an instrument to back me up. But we all learned like, you know, covers and stuff to do. But, you know, some of my most shreddiest pals that sound great as lead guitar player could not play you a song front to back or do a 3-hour gig playing songs front to back.
Very true.
So like we got this nice, you know, rhythm and composing a song from beginning to end. And it, like I said, it you don't have to be all
I like that.
Whatever to be a good player, I guess.
I needed that.
So I just want to say, hey, no. Yeah. Stop it. You guys are awesome.
I needed that because I just saw Molly Tuttle and I was like, wow, this is humbling. She's so good.
Yeah, which, she's amazing.
Know, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And of course, that's not to say like don't continue to learn and play. No, it's been really fun learning to like solo and stuff, and it keeps my gigs interesting to me. Exactly. You know what I mean? You're getting kind of burnt out, and I'm like, well, I'm learning like, the lines.
I'm boring myself.
Fun.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're boring yourself? Sometimes. I think all of us kind of get to that point.
Yeah. That's totally. Yeah. You're like, especially if you're playing, I'm just going to say Dreams by Fleetwood Mac. It's two
chords.
For
example.
And you're like.
Oh, God. Yeah. That song, I actually, really? I have that song too on my set. And I've actually recently been like, I got to get rid of this one. I love it. But I'm like, it is quite.
It's like, how can I make it more interesting to play for myself?
Know.
You know? It's like, because everybody that's listening to you is like, yeah, Dreams. And they're not paying attention to the fact that you're playing two chords.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you know?
Yep.
So.
Well, that's a good question. How do you feel like you stay inspired when you're, like, if you're kind of mid-gig, you're looking at your set list, you're like, oh, God.
You know, I don't know what you two use, but I use Ultimate Guitar Tabs.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
For a long time.
Yeah. So you can make playlists. It's great. Mm-hmm. Like, highly recommend.
Yeah.
And. But I've had it for over a decade. I can go back to 2013. I have 700 tabs favorited.
Same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I'll be like, okay, let's dig up something. For the most part, my playlists for my sets are pretty, I think, well thought out, because when people ask me all the time, what are you going to play for us? Which is a fine question, but I'm like, crowd pleasers. I don't know. Like, I go from Sabrina Carpenter to then Fleetwood Mac to Neil Young. Like, I'm all over the place.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain this to you.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
I always say, because it's funny that you say that, because when you're setting up, sometimes people are like,
absolutely.
Oh, when do you start? As soon as I get set up. And then, what are you going to play? I don't know.
Stick around and find out.
Yeah.
Or what do you want me to play?
Or usually now I say, I play anything from like the 60s to current music. It just depends on what I'm feeling and what my crowd looks like, you know?
Yeah, and that's what we feed off of. I think I'll notice the demographic and, you know, just being aware. I'm like, okay, maybe Sabrina Carpenter won't hit here.
Right.
That's okay.
Wait, what Sabrina Carpenter song do you play?
I just learned Coincidence.
Nice. Okay.
Love it. It's
I
so
just
fun.
Listened to her album, actually.
It's so good.
I was listening to all the like pop girly albums that came out like in the summer.
It's
like I was
so
like, all right, let's take
fun.
This journey.
It's so fun and inspiring.
She has a really fun album. It's very humorous. It's very cheeky.
Yes.
Like campy a little bit on purpose. Uh-huh. Like kind of country too, I thought.
Like Slim Pickens.
Oof. Yeah, Slim Pickens was a really like countrified.
It was very not Jolene. What am I saying? Dolly.
She's giving Dolly on that album for sure.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I have to listen to that album. I've only heard maybe two of her songs.
I know people Good like taste. To, you know, whatever, pop music and especially women pop musicians, it seems like. And it's like, listen to the album, actually. It's
just give it a minute. Yeah. And also, just because one song is going off doesn't mean you need to, and you don't like it. It doesn't mean you should give it a chance. And also, like I said, they're not taking themselves seriously. And it's just fun. And like, yeah. And again, it's something new, I feel like, and just inspiring for me too. I wish I could write fun, catchy songs. I can't. I just write sad songs.
You're among many who say that, especially on Voice in the Pen. People are like, I'm so sorry. All these songs are going to be sad.
I know. And
we're like, we know. It's fine.
I know. Maybe I'll get there. Maybe that's what I just need, this time to get all those sad songs out, and then I can move on from myself. But
Well, if you're like me, then I feel like when I write a happy song, it feels very corny. Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is.
And so I'm just like,
I feel dumb.
Yeah, it feels dumb. Even if it's not, like, it wouldn't necessarily come off that way to a listener. But because, you know, it's like if you hear like a really happy, like, song, like, you kind of want to just, like you said, campy for Sabrina Carpenter. Yeah. But like, you know, if you're in a specific mood during the day, you just want to like kind of dance and like sing happy, fun songs. Yeah. And so I think it would be the same if we wrote the happy song, but we feel corny writing it.
You know? I think also because, like we said, it's just us and our guitar, and those songs have a lot of production behind them that we can't necessarily hear yet.
True.
So it's hard to keep going on just the acousticness of it. So
yep. So what is your songwriting? How do you start in your process of songwriting?
It's sometimes pulling teeth. Like if I force it, this is very like corny to say, but it's if I can't get anything out. Like it's, but if I have an idea or thought, it just kind of flows. I mean, this past week, I was thinking of playing it today, but I wrote one this past week that just, I wrote it in like 30 minutes. And it was like, I like it when this happens. It just comes right out. Love
that. A little
that.
Like divine inspiration.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I read a book once. I think it was, I can't remember the author's name, but it was the same author that wrote Eat, Love, Pray.
Oh, yeah.
And she wrote a book about creativity and like the workings of creativity, which I'm interested in. And she sort of talked about the visualizing ideas as sort of like floating up in this ether around us, you know? And it's just like, bink, or like one just like hits you and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh shit, where'd the song come from?
I know.
And that's such a great process instead of like what you're describing where it's like been 5 years and you don't have the last verse yet and you're like, oh, I don't know if I'll ever finish this.
Yeah, I don't know. Exactly. So I'll have pieces and then sometimes it's just done. And I'm like, that's nice. Who did that? And that's been recently, like you mentioned, you listened to Happy Forest. That was one that just came right out. And
Was that one that just came out like that? So podcast confession, I cried in the car a little bit.
Oh my God.
On the way over. Yeah, I don't know. It just it hit me in a way because
I wasn't gonna sing it today, but maybe now I will. I was like, get her crying again.
Happy for us. It you know, a kind of conversation it sounded like with your younger self. And I'm very into this like honoring of your younger self or your inner child, especially in the creative process and especially around that age that you reference your younger self, like that 13. Mm-hmm. It's about the time like I picked up the guitar and it sounds like maybe that was true for like a lot of us when you're angsty and teenager. Yeah. Like, I need to,
you think you're good.
I need to write these sad songs. Yeah. Oh my God, so bad. And talk about like, I thought the faster you played and like the more complicated it was, like the better. So I was like, what am I doing? But you know, that like 13-year-old girl though was so creative and like there wasn't about like money and gigging and crowd pleasing and this and that, and she was so open to this world, you know, and I just it was emotional to think about like what would my like 13-year-old self look at me and think. And a friend of mine was interviewing me recently and said like, oh, tell me about your style. And I said, if 15-year-old Delia would have approved of the way I look, I go out. I say that I'm honoring my like the person I always kind of wanted to become. And it sounds like that was kind of along the lines of.
And and speaking of that, I think when I was young and like getting into music, you think there's one path of like, you know, you get lucky, you get a label, whatever. And I've realized is like recently is like just having this balance of performing, which I like, which I love, and songwriting on like, it doesn't have to be forced. And there's, I don't know, I've just been really happy with finding that balance and creating that community and the brand, I guess. But it's also like, it's fulfilling because every time I put it on the back burner, it's always there and it's always something I come back to. So I finally been like, okay, I need to just not ever give it up and do it no matter what. And I think that's more honoring what my younger self would have actually wanted without knowing that's what she wanted. So
I also like on that track, the vocals are kind of reverby and it kind of gives it this whole like dream stage.
Thank you, but that's because I recorded it in my bathroom.
You know what, the bathroom recording is a classic. God, technique.
I'm like, I don't feel like I would know that unless you told me that.
Oh, okay, good.
You told me that, and I listened to it, and I was like, huh.
No, it captures that kind of like echoiness, the good bathroom reverb. TM.
Those acoustics.
When's Boss going to put out a pedal for bathroom reverb?
Yeah.
It really gave it that kind of like dreamy sense, though, that you're sort of like in this like liminal space of yourself, like looking back at your,
that's
at your past.
So validating.
And kind
Thank
of,
you.
Yeah. Really liked it.
Yeah.
Totally.
I love that.
Yeah. No, I'm going to cry for a little cry break on the podcast.
No. But yeah, it's been rewarding. And I have two kids. I haven't mentioned that yet, but. So, you know, music's been on the back burner for them a lot, rightfully so. You know, I had them very young. And, yeah, but it's nice to see them watch me. And yesterday, my son has, like, a pizza party coming up in, like, 2 weeks. And he said, you have a gig at a wedding that day, right? And I was like, oh, my God. Yes, actually, I do. And it's just fun to keep them involved. Like, they'll come sometimes, and I write for them a lot. And it's just it's good to keep me going, for sure.
And how old is your oldest?
Almost 8 and then 3.
Okay.
Yeah. The 7-year-old, he's not interested in music at all. 3-year-old is. So we'll see what happens. But whatever they want.
It's always like my nephew is obsessed when I play shows. He's like, he like gets up there and I got him a ukulele when he was 2, and he's only 3 now, but he calls it his tar, because he thinks it's a guitar. And he one day he was going to a gig and he like put his ukulele in the front pouch of my Taylor guitar. So that, you know, it was coming with us. And then, of course, I had to buy him a case for it. But nice. I'm, like, really hoping that he really wants to try taking lessons when he's old enough to do it.
Yeah. That's what I try to do. I always bring tambourines to my gigs for the kids. Mm-hmm. And they
Bold
they,
move.
I know. I know. So far, so good. Because they do it for, like, 30 seconds. Big smile. Yeah. I get a tip from the parents.
Yeah.
And we move on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So far, nothing bad. But yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But it's nice to just like feed that. You know, what they see you.
I've done that before too. Yeah, and like had a little foot tambourine. And so my nephew Owen was up there with his tar, and then a little girl came up and
they're
was
not
like,
mic'd up or anything. It's fine.
Well, so you got the little band going.
Yeah. It was so cute.
Oh yeah, it's not the kids that are the problem with the tambourine. It's most certainly the adults a few drinks later who were like,
Oh yeah.
I have a friend, Matt, who he has one song that has a kazoo solo.
Ooh.
So he gives kazoos out to the audience. He just has this like box. And it's really fun and it's very funny. And he's like, all right, everybody. And like there's this moment of kazoos. But then this like lingering kazoos for the rest of your gig. And I'm like, that is a brave choice. That's a brave choice to make. Just saying.
That's awesome, though. That'd be so much fun. I would love to be in an audience for that. Yeah. Like, yes, give me that kazoo, and I will, be the obnoxious person probably with it. Yeah,
sure. You mentioned before that you really do love performing. And I was kind of thinking about this lately about, you know, being an artist versus being an entertainer. And obviously there's crossover for a lot of us, but they're kind of fundamentally different roles that we play. Like the person writing the song in the bedroom with the guitar is like not exactly the same person that like gets up on stage. And
that's why I wish I could write a catchy song, because I'd love to perform it instead of these sad songs. But yeah, I love playing and no one's paying attention, and you start playing a song in their heads, they're like, oh my God, I love this song. Uh-huh. It's just so fun. And I'm also that person if I'm in the crowd at a live music.
Yeah.
I'm like, I love that you chose this song. It's just so much connection and like opens conversation. Like I play a very acoustic, obviously, version of Time by Pink Floyd, and I always get these older guys so happy. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm glad I did it justice, but it's, I don't know, it just like opens conversation and it's fun to see reactions. And if there's none, it's totally fine, because all I'm doing is something I would do in my bedroom anyway, you know? Like I think of my younger self, I would spend hours playing, and I would love doing that regardless. So getting paid is nice.
Yeah. Agree.
Nice. Yeah. I would do this anyway.
Yeah. I feel that, because I still am like on the couch, you know, on the
yeah,
in
I
the
know.
Bedroom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
do you feel like, and like, I guess entertaining, gigging, and songwriting sort of help each other, encourage each other? Do you feel like more, the more you gig, the less time you have for that kind of thing? Because one thing I've struggled with is having that kind of time to just like kind of sit with yourself for a little while and be like, what do I like to play? Yeah. Let me write a new song. Like,
you know. I know. Yeah, no, it's hard to find the time. I think on a good year, I maybe write 3 songs. Maybe. Maybe. But the average is probably 1 or 2 a year that I'll knock out. So, no, I wish it could be more. But I think focusing on performing has been really rewarding because it's picked up and I like seeing that. So I'm just taking it as it comes.
Yeah. Now, do you play your originals at most of your gigs, or
sometimes
kind of like
I normally I will play by the beach because that relates. I wrote a song about living on the beach, and I think that relates to. Oh, your hand is up. I was like, why is his hand up? Okay, and so that relates to a lot of people, and yeah. Other than that, no.
Yeah.
Oh, I slip them in all the time. That's good. I just slip them in. No one knows.
Yeah, I know.
No one's going to know every cover you play either.
Exactly. Yeah. I know. I've thought of that too. I don't know.
You'll sing, sometimes you'll sing a popular, or what you feel like is a cover song that everyone will know. Someone will be like, did you write that? And I'm like, no.
Bob Marley's Redemption song? No.
Wait, I'm like, too.
I'm always like, I wish that I wrote that song, but no. Jewel wrote that song.
Jewel wrote that. Don't you remember the 90s?
Hello.
Yeah.
I'm like, I wish that I could climb that.
Because I do play Standing Still, and a guy was like, I wish you had sung some Jewel. I was like, I did.
I know.
I did sing Jewel.
Or someone will be like, I love that Sheryl Crow song you did. And I'm like, I didn't do a Sheryl Crow song tonight. But thanks.
It's okay. In their all fairness, I also, and I'm like, who in the world sings this song?
I'm like, which song did you think was Sheryl Crow?
Yeah.
I really do encourage the like original, if you have original songwriting stuff, just slip it in there.
Okay.
And also, I think that we, and kind of what you're saying, like we might assume that there's this, we need to play these like crowd pleasing songs, but like,
background.
I think we're underestimating our crowds though, just a little bit, because like people like to hear new music also. People like to hear something they haven't heard. There's a lot of overlap, I think, with, you know, cover artists. You kind of hear the same thing, which is nice because everyone's doing it their own way.
I try really hard not to, like, overlap with other... I know.
Yeah, you start to hear, like, the same song being played over and over.
I'm like,
remember that Valerie conversation on
Valerie,
Facebook?
Oh, Valerie, I'm sorry. Yeah. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah. Oh, Valerie, definitely.
I was thinking of Valerie. Sorry.
I once convinced somebody at Sea Witch that I did not know Wagon Wheel, that I had never heard the song before. I was, like, saying it a little bit. They're like, you know... Rock me, my mom. I'm like, no, never heard.
Just that's don't know hilarious. That. Sure. I love
like, you
that.
Must know that. I'm like, I've never heard of it before. Yeah. But I just think that audiences, I think we'd be surprised to like play some more original songs, slip them in there, let the crowd, you know, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt to just hear something new and respond well to it because people respond well to it, I find.
Yeah. My thought is always like, what if I play my song one day and someone turns around and is like, and then comes up to you and it's like, how do I find that? Who did that song?
I know.
And then you can be like, I wrote that song, actually.
That does happen. Yeah. And then you're like, go to my Spotify.
Yeah. Like that's what, you know, it's like test it out sometimes. That's what and encourage you
and
to
again,
try.
It's like there's absolutely nothing to lose. Right. Exactly. Already getting paid.
Exactly. Like exactly. And sometimes there's gigs where you're just kind of like, you know what? I know that this is going to be obscure stuff, even if it's not my own. But this is what I feel like playing right now. So I'm going to do this, you know? And then you'll be surprised. People will be like, I loved that. Like, I do like Patty Griffin. And if somebody knows who it is, I'm like, it makes me feel so good that they knew that more obscure artist that I played.
I am first generation. I grew up speaking Spanish. And I actually started putting Spanish songs in my set. I know no one will know. And I'm like, I don't even care. I like
That's
playing
awesome.
This. And I have gotten good feedback. They're like, yeah, okay. Like, we did
that's
enjoy
awesome.
That. So that's a good point, you know. And I've been doing that for myself. So I'm like kind of paying homage to that, how I was raised. And so that's
good.
Been fun too.
Yeah, because I don't ever hear anybody doing that out. Yeah. So that's a cool thing for you because that's unique, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, people aren't out there just singing songs in Spanish, you know?
I will do Despacito, though, sometimes. Like, everyone knows this one.
Bridging the gap between the obscure stuff and the pop hits.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
So you're releasing singles right now. And how many songs do you have out there?
Just three. Happy Forest by the Beach. And then, so from Voice in the Pen, when I went, I converted it to an audio file. I cleaned it up best I could, and I just released that as like a live recording of audio. So I was like, well, I'm going to use that. So it's one that I did want to record. So I am going to go to a studio. I don't know if you know Will Demaray. He's another one that plays around town. He's great. Yep. But he has a studio, and he helped me with By the Beach. He did amazing. I think I came
By the Beach is beautiful, and it does have beautiful production.
He did. I thought he was
there's this great. Sort of like swelling at the end of that song where it's just like everything kind of lifts up and you're like, oh, okay.
Thank you. All to him, because I came in with that idea. I didn't know how to express that's what I wanted, and he just understood it and took it from there. Like, I really.
That's awesome.
Just came with the words and the melody, obviously, but everything else was him. So I'm going back at the end of this month. I don't know when I'm going to record yet, but I just had a good experience, and I want to keep doing as much as I can.
Yeah.
Just singles. I don't have a plan for an album or anything.
Yeah.
I really think releasing singles is a very smart thing for artists to do right now.
Right.
Yeah. Just keep pushing it out. Just like get as much out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be a full album.
I don't
have
expectations. It's just for me. Like, it's not hurting anything. And yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and I was going to do a full album, and then I was like, because I haven't done one in a while, and then I started researching, and it's like the way to go is to do singles, because it keeps anybody who's following you on your socials.
It also helps see what works.
You have more content, and right. So how do you get the videos for, because you've got like the video for By the Beach, like how do you think about, there's kind of a funny story with that, I feel like, but I don't know, with your By the Beach video that you shared with me, but we don't have to go into that if you don't want to. But it was just like the way your dad reacted to the video. And I was like, what? No, the video is great. But
oh, not the video, the cover art.
Oh, is it the cover
the
art?
The cover
okay,
art.
Okay, I thought it was the reel that went along with the video.
Me on the beach with my kids, and I'm in a bathing suit. And I sent it to my dad, to my family for feedback. He's like, I don't like that you're in a your butt is the main character. And I'm like, but listen, I like made it black and white. I try to blur. I know, like, I don't want that to be the main character, but like, I'm with my kid, I'm like holding my kids in the picture, so I thought that was sweet.
It's just funny because I didn't think anything of it. I was like, she's just on the beach with her kids, like that's what I saw.
But my dad, obviously, he's just like, why is your butt? I know. And I'm like
overprotective dad. That's like the parent. Immediately engaged.
Yeah. That's what the parents see.
I know. But my husband, I was like, I just asked him. He's like, no, I like it. I think it makes sense with the song. I'm like, thank you. I mean, that's all. It's all that matters. I'm like, if you don't care. Right. I don't. I mean,
yeah.
Even if he cared, I wouldn't care. But like, it doesn't. So it was just that was funny. And I'm like, I'm not changing it now. Like, the song's being released tomorrow. Like, I'm not going to change it. And then with the video, I just pulled all the videos from us at the beach because I thought that would be fun. And
it's authentic and like, it's really just you guys at the beach. And so it goes really well with the song.
That's how that happened. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
It's exciting to hear that you're going back to record some more. Oh, yes. Well, it sounds like you are going to play some tunes for us.
I am. Now I don't know, because you liked Happy Forest. So I was like, I don't know.
If you had a plan, you don't have to, you know.
Okay. I won't play it. You can stream it if you want. So I'll do
that's right. That's right.
I'll do By the Beach. And then my unnamed song, I'll let you guys name it. Help me name it. I think I have an idea, but I literally just wrote it this past week.
Oh, awesome.
Can I give some context about
it
really quick? And then we can wrap it up. But so I wrote By the Beach, and I really had fun writing it. And then I was like, well, I like the mountains too. Let me write about that. And I started that way, but it took a turn, and it's not at all about the mountains. I grew up very Catholic, but I, you know, at a young age, I didn't feel part of that community, but I respect it wholeheartedly. My family still is. But I still have like a lot of questions and doubt and all those things. So the song is exploring that. I feel like it would be relatable of like, I don't know what's out there, but I have some feeling. I don't know what. So that's what the song is for. If like, it's okay to believe with some skepticism, but also open-minded. I'm very open-minded. I'm just like, I can't give you an answer. So that's what this song is. I don't know what the name should be. We'll think about it, but yeah. So that's what I'm going to play, I think.
Unnamed new one. Exciting. Yes. And where can people find you online and streaming services, all that good stuff?
I'm Katiana Musica for everything. And then Spotify, Katiana Vasquez, V-A-Z-Q-U-E-Z. And then Apple Music, everything. So, yep.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for coming to chat with us.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for being here.
I appreciate
our first guest in the new Hatch Studios.
Honored. It's beautiful in here. Yeah. Excited.
Oh, child, we grew up by the ocean. Oh, we grew up in the waves. Try to solve our problems by sailing away. I raised you with salt water in your veins. Hope that you'd always take that strength to mountains. Cities, although I wish you would stay, stare at the sea, swallow in the sunset, birthing a new breeze. If you're not near, at least we'll always have the beach. Oh, child, you say you hate the sand, but I watched you build castles. You say you wanna explore and be more open to travel. Nothing beats the morning watching the sunrise, spending your evening by the tide. Now you're surfing on Sundays. You say it's religion, chasing the waves. I don't think you'll go. This is your home. If you want to leave, at least we'll always have the beach. Shares, stories untold. You wander, leaving footprints etched in sandy gold. While the water may wash your tracks away, the ocean still sings all your praise. And I'm singing beside her at the top of my lungs. I'll never whisper how you'll always be best part of me. And if you're out of reach, at least we'll always have the beach. I walked up the mountain searching for God. Another hiker told me that man's a fraud. Didn't matter, I kept walking to see for myself. I was going for my sanity and for my health. I don't get help, people can just believe. I'm talking to all, I feel so naive. Make my own decisions and I create. Is it all me? Or is it fate? When I was young, I prayed for silly things, like for a new bike or a new set of strings. As I grew up, I realized we're trying our best to live for this man. We're desperate to impress. I don't get how people can just believe. Talking to all, I feel so naive. Make my own decisions and I create. Is it all me? Or is it fate? I made it to the top. I screamed until I dropped to my knees, and I could see that God is actually inside of me. I still don't get how people can just believe, but I'll say one thing between you and me. Regardless of what we have up above, I hope we're all leading this life with love.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Voice in the Pen podcast, recorded at Hatch Music Studios. You can find our other episodes on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts, and keep up with our event schedule on social media. Until next time, stay inspired and keep writing.